are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
You know, when I signed up for this movie, we were still needing somebody to kind of lead it. And I said, oh yeah, this would be like The Bodyguard, right? I love The Bodyguard. Yeah, this is like if The Bodyguard had somebody that you wouldn't want to step in front of the bullet for. A little bit like that, at least for me. I don't know about you guys. Anybody feel different?
I mean, I signed up because I thought we're going to watch a Tracy Ellis Ross film. I didn't know we're going to watch a Dakota Johnson film. So I was a little disappointed by that.
I mean, Tracy Ellis Ross does steal the show like every time she's on screen, though. So you got that going.
I mean, yeah, but what show is there to steal, really?
Yeah, that's kind of a fair assessment of The High Note, which is what we're reviewing here. Before we get too further into it, I'm Ben. With me is Davey.
Hi, hello.
Adrian.
Hello.
And Max.
What's up?
And we all signed up for this for different reasons. I did it because we needed it and it seemed fun. Max did it for Dakota Johnson and he claimed music.
It's not inaccurate.
And it sounds like otherwise everyone else was like, yeah, Tracy Ellis Ross, which is probably a bigger draw of your normal person who pays attention to cast.
I just hadn't been on a review in a bit and I felt like I wasn't contributing and I'd heard of this one.
That was actually why I did it too. I was like, oh, I haven't done one in a while. This seems interesting.
Yeah, it was weird because like everything I could find online said this movie came out at the end of May. Like you could it's available for rent and everything. And yeah. I saw reviews like a month ago. But I guess the whole thing is that, like it's coming out on Blu-ray on August 11th or something like that. So I guess that's why it seemed like it was pushed. I'm wondering if it was supposed to be like a theatrical release or not.
It was.
Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, I think we're just going to say the same thing because like I was seeing trailers for this back in March, and then the world ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was one of those that like we're gonna do that VOD theater premiere, so it's like a $20 rental, and it treats itself like it's like a big movie when it's unfortunately kind of not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now on Wikipedia here it says in its opening weekend this was the second highest rented film on Fandango now, really? Which is evidently a thing. Third most on iTunes and 11th most on Prime. So yeah, I mean that's not a bad launch there.
Is that like 20 people?
I don't even know what the hell is Fandango now.
I've known about it's probably like AMC's like on demand service. It's just like nobody really uses it, but apparently people do.
Yeah.
You can rent it on One of Us on demand, by the way, if you'd like.
Yeah,
you just send $20 to us and we'll just kinda tell you what happens.
I mean we could do that right now. Who wants to kinda get into the plot here?
I mean I can.
Okay.
So The High Note follows Maggie, played by Dakota Johnson, who is the personal assistant to a famous singer named Grace Davis. Maggie's precocious, and she's like, well, I want to be a producer and not just an assistant. But she can't be because she has to be busy being an assistant and a couple mild hijinks, yada yada yada.
Wah, wah.
She runs into this guy, David, played by Kelvin Harrison Jr., and they kind of hit it off, but she also is starting to think that maybe this guy could be her first real client trying to make her way up in the music world. And it's about her trying to remove herself as an assistant and insert herself as a producer, both in Grace's life and in this guy David's life, and what it's like trying to do that in the music world, kind of. It is not a very plot-heavy film.
And then in the background, Plumtree Hill plays. Sorry, I just picture that like every romantic comedy setup of that's like, they're a bunch of star-crossed lovers who love music. Going up on Plum Tree Hill.
Oh yeah,
every trailer in the 90s. Sorry. Yep. That's all my brain does is the 90s. Yeah. Just 90s references is basically all my brain here. But yeah, that's kind of this movie, and you know, for better and for worse, a lot of the time it is very paint by numbers. That very like every step of the way. If you see one of these movies, you have a very good guess of where this is going.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think it doesn't fall into the worst tropes of that. There's not like the super terrible misunderstanding, you know, where it's like the, you know, the guy's like, what? You told me that you were going to, you know, be out on a date with me, but instead you were actually, you know, cheating on me with blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I was actually just helping him move things into his new apartment. That bullshit
never happens. There is one big, not necessarily misunderstanding, but contrivance that made me go like, all right, you need to stop. There's one moment.
You mean the connection twist at the end?
Yeah, the quote-unquote twist. I was not a fan of that, but that is as bad as it gets.
The twist is so... It's so stupid that I thought of it, and I thought, like, well, there's no way they're going to do that. Yeah. Like, there's no way it's that much of a studio film, and it absolutely is. That's, unfortunately for me, what I felt about this throughout is that this is just a studio film. This is the most, like, paint-by-numbers, sadly, no-passion-behind film I've seen in a while. And it's a shame, because there's some really good, passionate people behind this movie, like Tracee Ellis Ross, fantastic actress, but she's not given a lot to do, and what she's given to do is it doesn't amount to much, I'd say.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, like the trailer was super misleading. Like it made it seem like it was going to be equally about her and Dakota Johnson, but Tracee Ellis Ross is only in like 30% of the movie.
And she's mostly hamming it up, which I think works at times. And at other times, it's like, look, you're trying to make this character a little bit of both things. And it works a little bit for that tie up that they get to towards the end that kind of comes back around for Dakota Johnson's character. But it's like, for the most of the movie, it just feels really imbalanced with that. I mean, above, if nothing else, though, this movie does have a fantastic cast and some really, really great cameos, actually, that I really loved. Like, I mean, you get random Eddie Izzard, you get random Mark Evan Jackson, who I always love.
That was a delight.
And shock, Mark Evan Jackson is always the best. And then her dad is the president of the United States. The only one I will recognize, Bill Pullman.
Yeah. Apparently, Dakota Johnson's mom was apparently a cameo on like the ferry scene. I forgot her name.
Melanie Griffith?
Melanie Griffith. Never even noticed.
Yeah, apparently she was like on the ferry. She was just like an extra, and her name showed up in the credits, which is kind of interesting.
Okay. And for anyone listening who may be 21, there's also a cameo from Diplo, who I had to look up who that was. Like, oh yeah, that's that DJ guy who is kind of making fun of himself. I kind of gave him credit for that. It's like, this is a very...
That was the guy?
Yeah, he was the producer.
And, the terrible producer.
Yeah, his character is basically what I think Diplo actually is. So I thought that was actually kind of funny.
I thought he was just a bad actor that was just like playing
a stupid
DJ. I was like, who is this guy?
Is that what what people in their early 20s are supposed to know? Because I don't know who the fuck that was.
Yeah, no, I barely know who DJ Khaled is, and I wish I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, but I know the name of Diplo, but I don't know, like, who he is.
I just always think people are mispronouncing the word Duplo, and then I just imagine him being made out of Duplo blocks, and then I forget it.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I will say here, it says Melanie Griffith was actually Tess Sherwood, so she actually does play Dakota Johnson's mom, who is only seen in photographs pretty much in the whole movie, which is a cool touch. I definitely would not have noticed that, even if I was still recognizing Melanie Griffith, really.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I think generally, like, there's okay performances. I do think Kelvin Harrison and Dakota Johnson do have some good chemistry in a lot of scenes, which is really important to actually make those work. Now, the first flirting scene when he's flirting with her, I'm just like, how long is this going to go on for? Like, even if they have chemistry, the scene does nothing for me as he's quizzing her on music. And it's like, we get it. She knows a lot about music. He's clearly playing around with her. Like, none of this is that good.
That was weird. Yeah, like, parts of this movie felt like almost like an SNL skit at points. And then it went back to, like, a normal movie again. Or not even like an SNL skit, like an SNL movie or like a WWE movie or something. It's just like, it was too like corny and like parodying itself.
Yeah.
And then it went back to normal.
That's kind of also the problem with how the film is put together as a whole. Like, it all just feels like chunks of scenes that will end up kind of going back to what they were talking about. But it's all its own contained little skit. I really want to think of like good things to say about this movie, and I'm glad that you guys are here because I feel like you guys have more good things to say about it than I did. Kelvin Harrison Jr. Love that dude. He was amazing in Loose, fantastic in Waves. So seeing him here was like, oh shit, I had no idea he was gonna be in this. And he's pretty good. He's working with what he has, but I did feel like what you guys said. There is definitely some chemistry there between the two.
Yeah, I think that worked. I did want to touch on that. I do believe both Harrison and Ross sang their own songs. They didn't sound super overproduced. I'm sure they used some other tricks there, but they actually sounded pretty good, and they performed the singing in musical scenes when they're actually performing really naturally. It felt like a real performer. So, I mean, that's something that's hard to capture in a lot of movies. A lot of movies really just neglect that and go cheap on it and get other voice actors. And I think that they did a good job by doing that here at very least.
Yeah, I didn't really like that many of the Ross songs, but like until the end. And then when they something else happened, I thought that actually was pretty good. But I don't know. Their voices were good. I just didn't really like the type of music she sang. I liked the guy's songs way better.
Yeah, all the songs kind of sound like half made.
Yeah,
like
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
like whatever 40-second chunk you heard in the movie, that's probably all there is. There is no end to that.
There's actually a full soundtrack with every song.
Yeah, it feels that way because even like
no, I'm saying there is like you can hear every song in its entirety on the soundtrack. I looked it up.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm surprised then because like the intro song, the song that kind of like everybody loves and it's why she's popular. It's something about her being a bad girl, and like that's all the lyrics are. It's just that. It's like basically just saying that I'm a bad girl, and it. Because of that, I felt like how much effort was really put into this.
Yeah. I think that is actually another real song. Like when they say it was a cover, it actually is a cover of a real song.
Well, then the real song is bad.
That's very easy. That could be quite true.
Dude, that's kind of
you looked it up. I think that's what they said.
That's kind of what I felt like in Hamilton. It was like there's some of these songs. I'm like, what is this? And apparently, it's like based on real songs.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of real music in this. And they wrote a few songs, but yeah, they recorded all of them in their entirety. And I even sat through the end credits listening to the songs because I generally thought the voices were good and checked that, the listing of the songs and the writers and that there were all the other versions.
I mean, yes.
I liked the two ending credit songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I live around Nashville, and if I just wanted to hear someone with a good voice singing a mediocre song, I could just walk down the street. Like, there's no production, no pizzazz to any of the musical numbers, which really sucks because that's kind of what these movies rely on. It reminded me a lot of, and I don't know if any of you guys remember this, but do any of y'all remember Danny Collins from 2015 with Al Pacino?
Yes.
Nope.
It's a very mediocre, harmless movie. And is basically the same problem as this does, where the story is nothing and the music numbers are there, and there's no there's no punch to any of it. None of it makes you feel anything, at least personally.
Yeah, I can give you that. I overall think it's like, this is a movie that you're going to forget pretty quickly. I mean, this is a film by Nisha Ganatra. I'm going to butcher that every time, so I'm sorry. But she's the one who just last year released and directed Late Night also for Amazon, which I think I haven't seen it, but I think I've heard from every person who's seen it, who's like, either they really liked it, they said, yeah, that's another good, harmless, you know, fine, harmless movie. It sounds like that was probably a better movie than this, and there might be more connection there, both with Mindy Kaling being, you know, being very personal to her, being a brown woman in comedy, moving up in there and trying to play up that joke, whereas this one kind of feels like no one had any real personal connection to it besides, you know, just, you know, this base idea of, you know, that bit where it's like, oh, yeah, I've never dealt with a woman producer, and trying to, you know, still look at that, which is a good message. But the rest of the movie doesn't add anything to it anywhere near as much as I believe Late Night does.
And the movie had nothing to do with that until like the one line there. She was like, yeah, it's going to be hard being a woman producer. I was like, you didn't talk any about that at all the entire movie.
Yeah, that's kind of true, actually.
That was weird. Well, I mean, like, I totally get the sentiment. It was just like, it was totally out of nowhere.
The only other time they bring it up is actually during that Diplo cameo. When he's just like not only is he a bad producer, but he's like a terrible male producer.
Oh yeah.
And she is like so much better because he's like just an idiot, which like that was basically the message of the entire film. It's pretty hollow.
Yeah, and he called her like sweetheart or something. I was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like that's probably true, but the way that you guys are putting it makes it seem like almost like parody.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair, but why don't you go and roll that into your final thoughts there?
Yeah, man, I'm feeling a 5 out of 5 on this one. I'm sorry. I wish I had a lot of good things to say about this because I love Tracy Ellis Ross. I'm okay with Dakota Johnson. I've mentioned before, I think the only thing I've liked her in was Suspiria. But, you know, I still want to see I never want to see a bad movie. But if I do want to see a bad movie, I want to see a bad movie by someone who thinks they're making a good movie. Because that has more charm than what this is. This is just a mediocre film that just feels like a studio film. This is for someone who watches maybe like 5 movies a year. Which, I mean, that's to say, like, I'm probably not the demographic for this movie. But when it comes down to it, the basic plot is about someone who's completely mediocre in what they do, feeling like they have to save the lives of 2 people who actually have a tremendous amount of talent. And the movie decides to just focus on this mediocre person throughout the entire thing. I kind of hated this. I'm going to give this a 1 damn Calvin Harris Jr. I wish you were in something better. Out of 5.
Jeez. Wow.
Ouch.
Well, here, Davey, how about you roll to yours?
This is just a piece of white bread. I can't hate it because it doesn't do anything. I can't like it because it doesn't do anything. The cast is really good, but none of them are doing the things that make the cast members really good. They're just kind of there, and I go, oh, I like that person. Oh, I like that person too. That's fun, and that's the only emotion getting me through the movie. It's nothing. It's already fading from my memory, and I finished it about 45 minutes ago. It just exists, and I, yeah, like you're saying, it's, I would rather watch something bad, because then at least there's a reason for it to be bad. There's something to hold on to. There's something to, quite frankly, there's something to review, and not just kind of sit around everyone going, yeah, so this movie didn't do anything, right? And trying not to make a 45-second review. 5 out of 10 Duplo blocks. I don't care. This movie doesn't care, and neither should you.
That's pretty fair.
Yes, join me, everyone.
Oof. Max, go ahead and bring it home with your obvious love of this film.
Yeah, I didn't like it much either, honestly. It was like, yeah, it was like beyond mediocre. The trailer looked way better than it actually was, and then I started watching it. The beginning was actually kind of funny because of Ice Cube saying, it's like the whole parody thing. It was like Ice Cube calling it Hawaii instead of Hawaii. It was just like Ice Cube had like really funny moments every once in a while, and then it just felt like 2 separate movies, like really awkwardly cut together. I really liked Dakota Johnson in it. The rest of them, I didn't really like. I didn't think they were good or bad. Her dad was great, too. Like, her and her dad had, like, the best chemistry. And then the only other part of the movie I really liked was, like, the last bit at the end. But, I mean, it was just kind of nothing. It was just, like, it wasn't good, it wasn't bad, it was whatever. So I'll give it a 5 out of 10 Hawaiias.
God. I guess I like this movie a little bit better than everyone else, and that's probably because I didn't even watch the trailer. I didn't even look at the cast before I signed up. I just kind of went in completely blind. It is completely white bread, vanilla, bland, but it has moments that I really like. I do really like the chemistry between Johnson and Harrison. I think there are some really good moments between Johnson and Ross. I actually hated Ice Cube in this movie. His character does nothing. He is the one-note joke that's the easiest to make with Ice Cube that was only done this, you know, fantastically in 21 and 22 Jump Street. And here he's trying to do it, like, again, where, like, his character had no give at all, where he's just, like, the most spiteful evil to Dakota Johnson, like, in every scene. And it's like, look, it's pretty clear Ross's character really likes her. Why is she putting up with, like, her manager being a complete asshole to her even before there's any, you know, there's supposed to be the turmoil between them? And it just feels so uneven in so many ways. But I enjoyed the music, as, you know, basic as a lot of it was. I enjoyed the performances of the, you know, the singing, not the performances in the movie in general. Those are really mediocre. I like the cameos, the Bill Pullman, Eddie Izzard cameo especially. Those two were great. But, yeah, you can't have a movie that's pulled off on a couple musical scenes that look, you know, are performed well and they sing well, and then Mark Evan Jackson coming in for one scene and being a joy. It's not a fantastic movie when your leads are barely the point that come for. People are going to enjoy this, especially while we're all stuck at home and they don't watch a lot of movies and they might get this on Amazon Prime for free. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 opening night parties where you clearly need an opener, because
her roommate was a total asshole too. I forgot about her roommate.
Yeah, she was at least a little funny. I was like, yeah, you can be an asshole because you made me laugh like once.
Yeah, she's that surgeon that's like not that great social at the social aspect, but she's a good person overall. So I was like, she doesn't know how to not seem like a tool, but you know.
Yeah, I'm friends with a couple of those people.
Yeah.
I will give it this. There was a point where I thought, like, damn, how much longer is this? And, like, literally right after that, it just ended.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, okay, all right, cool. We're done.
Yeah, there's a couple points where I was like, how much longer is this? I'm like, wait, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess if you want a happy-go-lucky light movie to watch, check this out. I mean, there's a lot worse you can do, but there's also so much better. Check out our other reviews, and I don't know. Max would say don't watch Hamilton, so I don't know if that's any better.
It is better. It's good, and the songs are written with actual care and love. It has its problems, but it's a lovely time.